Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever-precious and the worthy name of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus. We welcome you to the Bible study today, our continuation in the first epistle of John, chapter 5. We would like to read, beginning at verse 6, reading through verse 13, the words of the apostle saying, "This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, for the Spirit is the truth. For they that bear witness are three, the Spirit and the water, and the blood, and the three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has witnessed concerning his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness which God has given or witnessed concerning his Son. And this is the witness, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son hath life. He that is not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written to you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, who believe on the name of the Son of God." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this section of his precious and of his holy word. We noted in our preceding lesson from verses 1 through 5 that we who are believers can truly say we know what a Christian is. Now from verses 6 through 13, we have another great and perhaps a greater truth. We know who Jesus is. And as John writes, he certainly would indicate what every sinner must do to be saved. That sinner must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and that he died for his and her sins before he or she can be saved and become a child of God. For what John touches upon in the opening words of verse 6 and 7 is the very fact that Christ was crucified. And John refers to an incident that he himself was a personal witness to what took place when Christ died upon the cross. Those of you who may remember that in the 19th chapter of John's Gospel, the crucifixion of the Savior is recorded by the Apostle. When the Savior triumphantly cried out at the end of the great ordeal, "It is finished," he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. 'Twas an astonishment to the Roman centurion and all the soldiers that Christ was already dead. For he gave up his life. He said, "No man taketh my life from me. I have power or authority to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." But when he had finished that work of redemption, he cried, "It is done." And then he dismissed his spirit and yielded himself into death. Do you remember the action of the Roman soldier who came to break the legs of those who were crucified to hasten their death? When he came to the body of Jesus, he found he was already dead. And fulfilling the scripture that declared in Psalm chapter 22 that not a bone of him should be broken, he broke not his legs, but he took his spear and pierced the side of the blessed Lord, and out came both blood and water. John witnessed it. John saw it. Now what John refers to in what we have read, verses 6 and 7, and may I state, verse 8 in our authorized version is not found in the original. Now there's nothing wrong with the truth that it contains, but it's not in the scriptures, not in 1 John. But we find John gives the witness of three things. The witness of the Holy Spirit, the witness of the water, and the witness of the blood. Now what is the significance? Well, first of all, let me place it in its proper perspective. We know the value of the precious blood. That precious blood which we read in 1 John 1:7 alone cleanseth from all sin. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And John is giving this witness. The blood of Jesus Christ is the judicial cleansing power to wash your sins away and mine, my radio friend. And how blessed to know that testimony, to which John gives his own testimony in the writing of these words. John also saw the water coming out of the side of the blessed Lord. And what is the significance of water? Briefly this, though many scriptures could be referred to, but briefly this, the water represents that moral cleansing which the Lord uses to take care of his people, his children who are going through this world. And it is this, the washing of the water of the Word. The Word of God is the basin of water, whereby the Lord cleanses the feet that are defiled as we go through this scene of earth. What a joy to know! The Word of God is the basin of water, figuratively speaking. So that from the same blessed Savior, there is not only judicial cleansing, there is the moral cleansing, the washing of the water of the precious Word, to take the defilement of our walk here below from our feet, as it were, while treading this ungodly scene. Then third, thank God there is the witness of the Holy Spirit within us. For did not Paul write, Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself witnesseth with our spirit that we are the children of God. And well as John declared in the 10th verse, he that believes on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. A threefold witness. The witness of the Holy Spirit, if you please, dwelling within the believer. The witness of the blood of Christ, having put our sins away. The witness of the precious Word of God, in its blessed cleansing efficacy to wash us while we go through this scene. And well does John conclude by saying, and listen to it, anyone who does not believe God makes them a liar. Oh, my friend, are you making God a liar? Are you making God a liar? Anyone who does not believe the record that God has given makes him a liar because he has not believed in the witness or the record which God has given to us concerning his beloved Son. My sinner friend, don't make God a liar by your actions. By your rejection? By your refusal to take Christ as your Savior? When you turn away from that blessed Savior, whom the Spirit of God offers to you? You are saying you don't believe what God says about him, that he gave him upon the cross to die for your sins and to save your precious soul. For when you believe, you will have the witness as you have in verse 11. That God has given to you eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Now my radio friend, if you want eternal life, you must have Christ. For he that has the Son hath life. We read in verse 12. And he that has not the Son of God hath not life. It's a very simple, but it's a very clear cleavage and mark of separation. You either have the Son or you don't have him at all. But if you have the Son, you have eternal life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have eternal life. Well, did the Savior pray in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now please note again our closing verse, the 13th, one of great importance. We may repeat it again. But we say, if I may put it this way, this 13th verse is the closing record of 7 particular reasons written by the Apostle John in this letter, why he thus wrote. And I like this closing reason why he wrote the letter. These things have I written to you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, who believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm fully aware, and unfortunately confess it to be so, there are so many people who say you cannot know that you're saved while you're here on the earth. Now you are calling God a liar, if that is what you believe. For God is saying you can know it. And John is saying, I wrote these things that you may know that you have eternal life. Those of you, not all people, but those of you who have believed on the name of the Son of God. My beloved, do not ever think that I am presumptuous, or that any Christian is presumptuous, when he or she may say, I know that I have eternal life. The ground of their confession and the ground of their assurance is God's word.